Well, good morning. Thank you for being here, and I'm sorry about the monitors not wanting to cooperate this morning. I cleaned the receptacle in the computer, but it didn't work. So next I'll try a new cable. Maybe that'll work. You know, as I sat there and watched the monitors do crazy things, I thought about days of old when there were no monitors. The preacher standing up and maybe having his notes all laid out, ready to go, and somebody opens up a window and they're all blown away. I'm thinking, what will we do now? Well, now, take your Bibles and open them up to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to be looking at several of the verses this morning. The sermon is entitled, The People in Our Lives. We all have friends. People that we perhaps have known for many, many years. Then there are those that we have probably maybe just met. Then there's family. And then there's enemies. Throughout our lives, we meet many different people. Now, some of these people will impact our lives for a very short period of time. People come, people go. But there are others who will remain a presence in our lives until our death. The aim, I believe, of this lesson, and I hope that this is what we can get out of it, is to remind us of all of those people that are in our lives so that we might pull our friends closer and identify our enemies and to remember that God will never, ever forsake us. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8. Paul says, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Brothers and sisters, he's not waiting on a train. He's not getting on a plane. He's not got a taxi cab waiting. Paul's in prison, and he's about to be put to death. And even with that on his mind, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And then notice what he says next. Brothers and sisters, this is our hope, not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. If we love His appearing, then there is also a crown of righteousness waiting for us. At this point in Paul's life, he's about to lose that life. And as he nears the end of his life, he expresses great hope, the hope of that crown of righteousness. But then starting in verse 9 all the way through verse 16, and actually pretty much the chapter, he starts remembering all of the people that were in his life. Demas, This man forsook Paul, as we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Do we have any Demases in our lives? How many people have we known that maybe they obeyed the gospel, but yet for whatever the reason, because of the pull of the world, the lure of what's out there, they've departed. They left simply because they were not grounded in the faith. We can all probably name a few people in our lives such as this. Paul was very disheartened about Demas because Demas not only forsook him, but he forsook God. You know, I think that Paul probably would not have been quite as hard on Demas if Demas had simply departed Paul but stayed faithful to God. But he didn't do it. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Are we guilty of this ourselves? Have we become our own Demas because of the pretties out there in the world? Yeah, we're here on Sunday mornings. We sing. Maybe we're here for Bible class. We sit through the sermon, but yet when Monday comes, we become our Demas because we're not grounded in the faith. He's departed. He left. And again, I don't think Paul would have been quite as upset with Demas if he had simply left him but remained faithful to God. But he did not. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and he sowed some seeds, and they fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. That was Demas. Demas had the seeds on the wayside. Didn't last very long because the birds flying over saw it and swooped down and picked it up. He goes on. In verse 5, it says, And some fell upon stony places, and they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. Again, this was Demas. The man simply did not grow because of the cares of the world. You know, it's kind of like over in the front of the house next door. Most of you will remember that big, huge ash tree that was out there. And in the summertime, it shaded the whole area. And there were some very nice flowers growing. But now, since that tree's gone, when the sun gets high enough and it gets hot enough, it has literally scorched those flowers because there's no shade. Think about this. And some fell upon the stony places where there had not much earth, and forthwith it sprang up because they had no deepness of earth. They died. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And I think what the idea here is when bad things start to happen, when persecutions start, when people start mocking and making fun of you, you become Demas. Sadly, some will choose this world over the next world. And that's sad. But now Luke was different. Notice, if you will, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Paul there in prison. But Luke is there with him. He goes on and says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Now, John Mark. The word there, profitable, literally is useful. John Mark would be very useful for Paul. Even though his life was almost to end, he wanted Mark to come and work with him. Think how much this had meant to Paul to have this man come and work. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. My prayer is that each and every one here today has such a friend. A friend that will stick no matter what. Even though your life may become hard and difficult, that friend sticks with you. John Mark was a man that had came into Paul's life, but then left. He came into Paul's life, but then he simply packed up and left. Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. It's the same man that Paul wanted brought to him in Rome. And then in Acts chapter 13 and verse 13, now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Well, there, John skipped out. He decided he wanted to be elsewhere. I don't know why. Maybe it was because Paul had so much going on and so many people trying to destroy him that he didn't want no part of it. Are we kind of like John Mark? When things start getting bad for our brothers and sisters, we skip town. Hop on the bus, Gus. Remember that song? John Mark, for whatever reason, decided he did not want to be associated with Paul any longer. And then, if you will, take your Bibles and turn over to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and start reading in verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do." Acts chapter 15, starting verse 36. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. Maybe he thought the work was too hard. Maybe he thought there was too much persecution. Maybe he thought that, you know, he wanted to go see greener pastures. Verse 39, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder. That word contention literally has the idea is of disputing unto anger. Paul and Barnabas had an argument. They had an argument. And the argument was so heated that they literally departed one from the other. And Barnabas took Mark and sailed into Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Have we ever had someone in our life that we felt had done us dirty, and then someone else come along and said, hey, you know, we ought to take this person with us? No way. No way, Jose. But how many times could it be said that we ourselves have become a John Mark? How many times have we departed when things got a little rough around the edges? Maybe we didn't want to associate with someone because of their past. Maybe something they said or did. We have enough real enemies. We must not make our friends enemies by being a John Mark. Then we get down to Alexandria, the coppersmith. Now this man simply outright opposed Paul and Paul's words. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Now, I think it's very interesting. Paul left it to God. Paul did not determine that I'm going to get even with this man. He's done me great evil, so I'm going to do everything that I can to make his life miserable. That's not what he said. He said that the Lord reward him according to his works. He left it in God's hands. Verse 15, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. Watch out for him. Watch out. Too many times I believe that we become Alexander the coppersmith. Just because someone does not agree with us or someone has a different idea than we have, we want to destroy. We want to make their life miserable. That's wrong. If someone is doing that to us, do we strike back or do we leave it in God's hands, as Paul demonstrated here? Alexander the coppersmith opposed Paul greatly. We will have people in our lives who are set on our destruction. There's many people in the world today that want to see the church done away with. There are those in the world today who simply do not believe in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, do not believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. And they want it destroyed. But I believe that we must leave our grievances to God. Let God reward them for their evil. God stood with Paul. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me through all of his life as a Christian. From the time that he met the Lord on the road to Damascus until this point, God stood with me and strengthened me that by me the preaching might be fully known and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. When things get rough, when things get to the point that we simply want to give up, do we truly understand that God is with us? That God is on our side? And regardless of what man may do to us, God will never forsake us. Even though there were people in Paul's life that packed up and left town, God would never do that. God will be with us forever if we remain faithful. Verse 18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, regardless of what man may do, whatever man may come or go, God will never forsake us. We must value our friends and forgive. Forgive where and when needed. And may we forgive those who are our enemies. Love those who persecute you and speak evil of you. And may we glorify God for being faithful to us through thick and thin. The lesson's yours. Let us examine our lives. Let us make sure where we stand with one another, and especially where we stand with God. If you're here this morning and not a Christian, and you wish to obey the gospel, have your sins taken away through baptism, would you come?